Welcome back to A Year of War and Peace, the podcast where we go from War and Peace Zero to War and Peace Hero in 1 year flat. We are up to Book 8, Chapter 7. And judging by the page count of the book, we have passed the halfway point of the book at some point in the last chapter or so. So that's exciting. Halfway there. Alright, here we go. Next day, by Marya Dmitrievna's advice, Count Rostov took Natasha to call on Prince Nicholas Bolkonski. The Count did not set out cheerfully on this visit. At heart, he felt afraid. He well remembered the last interview he had with the old prince at the time of the enrollment, when in reply to an invitation to dinner he had had to listen to an angry reprimand for not having provided his full quota of men. Natasha, on the other hand, having put on her best gown, was in highest spirits. "They can't help liking me," she thought. "Everybody always has liked me, and I am so willing to do anything they wish, so ready to be fond of him for being his father, and of her for being his sister, that there is no reason for them not to like me." They drove up to the gloomy old house on the Vozdzivhenka and entered the vestibule. "Well, the Lord have mercy on us," said the Count, half in jest, half in earnest. But Natasha noticed that her father was flurried on entering the anteroom, and inquired timidly and softly whether the prince and princess were at home. When they had been announced, a perturbation was noticeable among the servants. The footman, who had gone to announce them, was stopped by another in the large hall, and they whispered to one another. Then a maidservant ran into the hall and hurriedly said something, mentioning the princess. At last an old, cross-looking footman came and announced to the Rostovs that the prince was not receiving, but that the princess begged them to walk up. The first person who came to meet the visitors was Mademoiselle Bourienne. She greeted the father and daughter with special politeness and showed them to the princess's room. The princess, looking excited and nervous, her face flushed in patches, ran in to meet the visitors, treading heavily and vainly trying to appear cordial and at ease. From the first glance, Princess Mary did not like Natasha. She thought her too fashionably dressed, frivolously gay and vain. She did not at all realize that before having seen her future sister-in-law, she was prejudiced against her by involuntary envy of her beauty, youth, and happiness, as well as by jealousy of her brother's love for her. Apart from this insupportable antipathy to her, Princess Mary was agitated just then because of the Rostovs being announced. The old prince had shouted that he did not wish to see them, that Princess Mary might do if she chose, but they were not to be admitted to him. She had decided to receive them, but feared lest the prince might at any moment indulge in some freak. He, as he seemed, much upset by the Rostovs' visit. "There, my princess, I've brought you my songstress," said the Count, bowing and looking round uneasily as if afraid the old prince might appear. "I am so glad you should get to know one another. Very sorry the prince is still ailing," and after a few more commonplace remarks he rose. "If you'll allow me to leave my Natasha in your hands for a quarter of an hour, princess, I'll drive round to see Anna Semenovna. It's quite near, in the Dog's Square, and then I'll come back for her." The Count had devised this diplomatic ruse, as he afterwards told his daughter, to give the future sisters-in-law an opportunity to talk to one another freely, but another motive was to avoid the danger of encountering the old prince, of whom he was afraid. He did not mention this to his daughter, but Natasha noticed her father's nervousness and anxiety and felt mortified by it. She blushed for him, grew still angrier at having blushed, and looked at the princess with a bold and defiant expression which said that she was not afraid of anybody. The princess told the Count that she would be delighted, and only begged him to stay longer at Anna Semenovna's, and he departed. Despite the uneasy glances thrown at her by Princess Mary, who wished to have a tête-à-tête with Natasha, Mademoiselle Bourienne remained in the room and persistently talked about Moscow amusements and theatres. Natasha felt offended by the hesitation she had noticed in the anteroom, by her father's nervousness, and by the unnatural manner at the princess, who, she thought, was making a favour of receiving her, and so everything displeased her. She did not like Princess Mary, whom she thought very plain, affected, and dry. Natasha suddenly shrank into herself and involuntarily assumed an offhand air which alienated Princess Mary still more. After five minutes of irksome, constrained conversation, they heard the sound of slippered feet rapidly approaching. Princess Mary looked frightened. The door opened and the old prince, in his dressing gown and white nightcap, came in. "Ah, madam," he began. "Madam, Countess Rostova, if I am not mistaken, I beg you to excuse me, I did not know, madame. God is my witness, I did not know you had honoured us with a visit, and I came in such a costume only to see my daughter. I beg you to excuse me, God is my witness, I didn't know." He repeated, stressing the word God, so unnaturally and so unpleasantly that Princess Mary stood with downcast eyes, not daring to look either at her father or at Natasha. Nor did the latter, having risen and curtsied, know what to do. Mademoiselle Bourienne alone smiled agreeably. "I beg you to excuse me, God is my witness, I didn't know," muttered the old man, and after looking Natasha over from head to foot, he went out. Mademoiselle Bourienne was the first to recover herself after this apparition, and began speaking about the prince's indisposition. Natasha and Princess Mary looked at one another in silence, and the longer they did so without saying what they wanted to say, the greater grew their antipathy to one another. When the count returned, Natasha was impolitely pleased and hastened to get away. At that moment she hated the stiff, elderly princess, who could place her in such an embarrassing position, and had spent half an hour with her without once mentioning Prince Andrew. "I couldn't begin talking about him in the presence of that Frenchwoman," thought Natasha. The same thought was meanwhile tormenting Princess Mary. She knew what she ought to have said to Natasha, but she had been unable to say it because Mademoiselle Bourienne was in the way, and because, without knowing why, she felt it very difficult to speak of the marriage. When the Count was already leaving the room, Princess Mary went up hurriedly to Natasha, took her by the hand, and said with a deep sigh, "Wait, I must..." Natasha glanced at her ironically without knowing why. "Dear Natalie," said Princess Mary, "I want you to know that I am glad my brother has found happiness." She paused, feeling that she was not telling the truth. Natasha noticed this and guessed its reason. "I think, Princess, it is not convenient to speak of that now," she said with an external dignity and coldness, though she felt the tears choking her. "What have I said and what have I done?" thought she, as soon as she was out of the room. They waited a long time for Natasha to come to dinner that day. She sat in her room crying like a child, blowing her nose and sobbing. Sonya stood beside her, kissing her hair. "Natasha, what is it about?" she asked. "What do they matter to you? It will all pass, Natasha. But if only you knew how offensive it was. As if I..." "Don't talk about it, Natasha. It wasn't your fault, so why should you mind? Kiss me," said Sonya. Natasha raised her head and kissed her friend on the lips, pressed her wet face against hers. "I can't tell you, I don't know. No one's to blame," said Natasha. "It's my fault, but it all hurts terribly. Oh, why doesn't he come?" She came into the dinner with red eyes. Marya Dmitrievna, who knew how the prince had received the Rostovs, pretended not to notice how upset Natasha was, and jested resolutely and loudly at the table with the Count and other guests. All right, there we go, another chapter down, and as we spoke about in the previous episode, we were all looking forward to the meeting of Natasha and the Bolkonskys, old man Bolkonsky, and Princess Marya. There was a bit of speculation. Maybe one of them will like her, maybe one of them won't. Who knows what's going to happen, maybe she'll win them over. Turned out neither of them liked poor Natasha, and they made that quite clear. It was a very icy cold reception, and you feel bad for the poor girl. her spirit was broken so quickly. She went in thinking, you know, I know that they've expressed disapproval for this wedding, but I'm going to win them over. And it was just immediately that her spirit was broken, and you can't help but blame her cowardly father a little bit, because he didn't really fill her with confidence, did he? He bailed out. He chickened out. Ran off to see a friend. I just need to pop over to, who was it? Anna. Anna something. Pop over and see my friend Anna. Leave you here. I'll be back in 15 minutes. And I think he was kidding himself a bit by saying, it's so you guys can get a chance to get to know each other. Giving himself a little bit of peace of mind. But deep down, we all know he was just chickening out. He did not want to sit through the awkwardness. He didn't want to get berated again by the old man. And so he didn't exactly have his daughter's back on this one. You really wonder what's going to happen with Prince Andrei when he comes back into the picture. Whose side is he going to be on here? Surely his fiancé's side. And I kept thinking, wouldn't it be good if Natasha's mother could have come along? She's got a bit more backbone than her father. And then I thought even better would be Anna Mikhailovna. Imagine her in there fighting Natasha's battle for her. Then she'd get a fair hearing from the old Bolkonskys. B52 girl said, while I've enjoyed the novel so far, I really feel like the pace and storyline have begun to pick up recently with Natasha and Prince Andrei's courtship and prolonged engagement. I really dig how Tolstoy has built up the tension between the Bolkonsky and Rostov families. There's no way this is going to be an easy engagement or marriage if the senile old prince has his way, especially with everyone's favourite pushover, Count Rostov. Side note, the sad part of finally being caught up is now I have to read one chapter per day. De Fleury responded saying, I'm fighting the urge to read ahead as well. Well, I think you're right, B52 girl, about the fact that this will not be an easy engagement or marriage because of the senile old prince. But we got to remember that Prince Andrei will be back in the picture for the marriage. So he should hopefully fight on Natasha's side and try to calm the old, grumpy old prince down. It's funny though, this is definitely one of the peace parts of the book. We're talking about weddings and families and social life, society life, and yet there's so much hostility and tension. And then when you compare it to something like Nicholas being away at war and just having the time of his life, it kind of is a funny little juxtaposition, a little contrast between the peace part is really where all the nastiness happens. Other than, of course, at war people were getting blown up and killed. But other than that, the people off at war seem to be having a pretty great time. All right, that's going to do us for today's episode. We're going to leave it there. Thanks very much for listening, and I will see you tomorrow.